for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, it's a brand new year, and about this time every year, we begin to think about doing things in different ways. We start thinking about change, how we're going to be doing this or that in a different way. We make resolutions. And so a couple of weeks ago, our pastor began this brand new series, and he began to help us even challenge the way we even think about change. And we learned that change is really about growth. So maybe we should start focusing on growing and let God worry about the changing. And so our view of change should be this. It's not a project of change. It's a process of growth. It's not a project. It's a process. We also learned last week another fact. Change should be not about what we've achieved. It should be about what we've received. You see, God has given us so many different gifts, so many different things. And if we focus on using those gifts to change the world around us, we'll grow into who God has called us to be. We'll begin to be who He has meant for us to be. And today, we're going to talk about a third aspect of change, something a little bit different. But before we get there, I want to just tell you a little bit about how today's going to work. It's going to be different. First, we're going to hear about how every one of us experience change. There's something that we all go through that and we experience change in this way. And then we're going to hear about a story from a woman in the life of Jesus who discovered a process and great change happened around her. Then we're going to hear some very practical advice from some people who have discovered how to have this same type of change in their lives. But first, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever experienced something that you couldn't wait to share with others? How many of you have ever had something like that? Maybe, ladies, maybe you have gone to a new store and you found this new place to shop and you love everything in there. You go in and you buy all that you can buy and you leave and you can't wait to share it with your girlfriends. You can't wait to tell them all about it. Or maybe you've got kids and now you've crossed over into the minivan world. Why? Because they're amazing. Every part of a minivan is designed for a family with the storage and the flip-down screens. They're awesome. And now when you encounter a friend who's got kids but no minivan, you can't stop at trying to convince them to get a minivan because they're the best. Or it's the new year, so maybe you've decided to get a new workout program or try a new diet. And so you've tried something and it's working. You're feeling good, and you like how everything's going, so you want to share that with other people. You want them to be a part of it as well. You want them to feel the same way. The people who do this the best are you CrossFit crazies. You people go crazy with this. You always talk about your exercises, your burpees, and your whatnots, and you try to get more people to join in with you, and it's great because you want them to experience the same type of change that you have. You understand what this is all about. You've experienced something like this. Let me give you one more. Food is a big deal for me. I love trying new restaurants. And say you've gone to a new restaurant, and you get there, and the food is amazing, the atmosphere is great, the service is wonderful, and you leave, and you think, I can't wait to tell everybody about this new restaurant. And you think about your good buddy Jim. Jim would love this place. And so the next time you encounter Jim, you start telling him about it. You tell him about the food and the atmosphere and the service, and he just doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. So, and maybe you've tried different tactics to get Jim to be there. Maybe you try to talk about this restaurant on Facebook and tag him in the comments. Or maybe you try to have your other friends who've been to the restaurant tell him to go as well. Or maybe you've even tried to give him a gift card just to say, go, try it out. But nothing seems to work. And maybe Jim is one of these type people. I think you might know someone like this, who the more you talk about something, the more you say you've got to try this out, you must go there, the least likely they want to go. You know anybody like that? It's almost like you want him to go somewhere that's serving poison or something. I was like this about a particular food one time, sushi. The more people talked about sushi, the least likely I wanted it. I couldn't imagine how anyone would even want to take a bite of that, much less make it a meal. Until one day, my good friend, Trey Kelly, invited me to go eat sushi one day for lunch when we worked together out in Texas. So we go to this restaurant. Hey, I'm all about trying a new place, but I wasn't down with the sushi. So we go there. I go begrudgingly. We order the Always Safe California roll. So it comes out, these nice little rolls, and I take a bite, and guess what? I hated it. I could barely get a bite down without it all coming back up. You know what I'm saying? And so I trudged through the meal, and we left, and weeks later, someone else invited me to go eat sushi. And even though I'd had that kind of experience, I had tried something new. I tasted something different, and I wanted to go back. And now, if you ask people around me, the people who know me best, they'll tell you that I could eat sushi every day of the week. I love it. But I couldn't understand it until I tried it for myself. Back to our boy Jim, who's convinced that you want to take him to Toxic Tacos. He can't understand what the restaurant is like until he experiences it for himself. He doesn't understand how awesome it is to eat a sizzling steak overlooking the city. He doesn't get it until he can go for himself. It was the same way with me with sushi. I couldn't understand how amazing it is to begin the meal with the steaming miso soup, followed by the salad with that ginger dressing on top, followed next by the main course of the fresh fish and rice, topped with this tasty goodness, all to be dipped in soy sauce and to be eaten with chopsticks. I've just made you all hungry, right? I couldn't understand it until I'd experienced it for myself. Now, you've got to be saying at this point, well, that's awesome. That's a great story, but what in the world does this have to do with change? What are you talking about here? Well, there's another area in our lives that's very similar to this same idea. Many of you have found your way to Wellspring, and you've come here and your life has been completely changed. You're now looking at the world in a completely different way. Many of you would have never dreamed that you would attend church more than once or twice a year. And now, you're here almost every week. And some of you would have said, you'll never give your time, your energy, your resources to any religious organization. And now, you can't stop giving, you can't stop serving, you can't stop being a part of everything we do at Wellspring. What's changed? What's the difference? The answer is that you have had an encounter with the living God, and your life has been forever changed by that. Something else has happened as well. Many of you are now consumed with telling everybody around you about what you've experienced. You can't stop at anything at telling those around you about what you've experienced, about what you've gone through. You've tried many tactics. Maybe you've just tried to live your life in a different way and hope that they would see a difference. Maybe you've even tried to argue your beliefs with them to hopefully that they would understand. Maybe you've tried to share a sermon with them and hope that they would listen to it. Or maybe you've given them the latest Christian book or CD. But nothing seems to work. And you can't understand what's going on. Here's what I hope you discover today. Here's what I want you to see. When it comes to our friends and our family, this goes right along with what we talked about through the entire series. We must stop looking at them as our projects. And we must discover that there's a process. Their lives are a process that only God can change. That's the third aspect of change that we're going to talk about today. And it has to do with the change that we see in others. Because only God can change others. Only God can affect the same type of life change in other people that you've experienced. But here's the fun part. Here's the cool thing. You have a role to play. You are the catalyst to begin the process in others' lives. It all begins with a simple invitation for them to come and see. Now you say, I've tried that too. I've tried to invite other people to Wellspring, and they don't come. Well, in a few minutes, as I said earlier, we're going to hear from what I call the invitation elites here at Wellspring. These are the experts. These are the people that invite people all the time to Wellspring. And they have found the secret sauce to getting people here. And we're going to hear from them. But first, what I want us to do is to look at a story of a woman in the life of Jesus. And this story can be found in the book of John. John was one of Jesus' closest friends and followers. And we're going to look at how he tells the story. And let me set this up for you. At this time, Jesus had been traveling and teaching around the region. And traveling at that time meant walking, a lot of walking. Walking in the Middle East meant that you could get really thirsty at this time. And that's where we find Jesus. After a long walk, hanging out by a well, waiting for someone to give him some water. Let's look at John 4, starting in verse 5. Eventually, Jesus came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. So it was about noon, and after a long walk, Jesus is sitting by this well. The disciples had gone into the city to get some food for them. And he's sitting there, and a woman comes up to get some water. So you're like, what's the big deal? Well, this woman is a Samaritan, and Jesus is a Jew. Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other very much, much less talk to each other. So Jesus begins to initiate a conversation with her. And after she gets over the shock that he even spoke to her, they begin to have a discussion about who the Messiah is. And eventually Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah. He's the one she's looking for. We pick up the story there. Verse 25. The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." Just then the disciples came. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So here at the crucial moment, Jesus is having a conversation with this woman. And he's just revealed to her that he's the Messiah. He's the one she's been looking for. At the crucial moment, the disciples come back. And so we don't get to see what her expression is. We don't get to know what she said. But we do have a clue based on what she did next. You see, this woman had just eaten at a new restaurant. She just had been to a new restaurant with the most amazing food, the most amazing service, the most amazing atmosphere. This is the best restaurant she's ever eaten at, times 10. We know that based on what she did next. And what she did next is what many of you have done as well. You've come to Wellspring, your life has been changed, and your first thought is, "I've got to tell other people about what I've experienced." And that's what she did. Check out verse 28. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see. A man who told me everything I ever did, could he possibly be the Messiah?" The only difference between what this woman did here and what many of us do was her approach. You see, she didn't leave that well and run to the city and start trying to live her life in a different way. Start trying to be nice to everybody in hopes that they would see. She didn't leave that well and run to the city and try to argue with them about beliefs, about what she thought about everything. She didn't leave the well and go and give them the latest book about Jesus. What she did was she knew that her friends could not be her project. She knew at that moment that there was a process. And the process was simple. All she needed to do was to get them to Jesus. All she needed to do was to get them to the one who had changed her life. She simply said to them, "Come and see. Come and check out the one who's made this difference." What happens next is pretty amazing. Check this out. Verse 30. So the people came streaming from the village to see him. So she's going to the village to say, "Come and see this one." And people come streaming to see him. A little further down in verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear this message and believe. And then they said to the woman, don't miss this, "Now we believe not just because of what you have told us, but because we have heard him for ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." You see, they believed not just because of what she had said, they believed because of what they had experienced for themselves. Only God can change others. Our shift in thinking, as we think about changing others, must begin with seeing them not as projects, but as a process. And this process is simple. It begins with us saying, come and see. Those that we desperately want to come to know God, we must begin with that change in thinking. This woman knew that she must get her friends to Jesus. She knew that was the most important thing. At Wellspring, we believe the most important way for others to figure out who God is for them to get here. We believe the most important thing you can do to introduce others to God is to get them to Wellspring. Why do we think that? Because everything we do, every Sunday, every weekend, is designed so that the person that doesn't know God can walk through these doors and experience Him in a brand new way. That's why the most important thing you should do is to be trying to get them to Wellspring. So how do we do that? How do we get people here? You say, yeah, I've tried that. I've tried to invite people. How does it work? Well, we're about to hear from a group of people who have figured out how to make this work. And I believe that we can learn a great deal about what they have to say. And the cool thing is, each person in this video was also invited by someone else. Each person that you're about to hear from was invited by someone else whose life had been changed, and now they are inviting like crazy. I believe we can learn a great deal. So let's take a moment and check this out. How do you guys invite other people? What do you say to people when you're inviting them to Wellspring?
Well, for me, Myrtle Beach is such a transient area. And, you know, I meet people a lot of times and they say, oh, I just moved to the area. And one of the first things I try and mention is, well, if you're looking for a church home, you know, we'd love to have you. And so I've invited many people that way.
I think when people are moving into the area like that too, they want a chance to feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. And inviting them into a church family, into a home like that is a really great way to mm-hmm. encourage others to join us, at least for the weekend, just to check it out.
You know, sometimes it's hard too for locals because we, you know, Jason and I are both from here, yeah. And finding other locals looking for a church, because normally, like us, you're raised in a church your entire life.
Right.
So we actually, I know everybody feels this way about Trey, like when he talks in his sermons, mm-hmm. you feel like he's talking straight to you.
Right.
And about whatever situation you're going through.
Yeah.
So we talked to some good friends about ours on a trip to Disney World, and it just came up in conversation. Like, a funny situation happened, and we're like, oh, that's so funny. We just talked about that in our sermon.
Huh.
And it just has been coming up in conversation with random friends. And then they'll say, oh, where'd you go? Where do you go now? And then we'll ask them, and then they'll end up trying it out.
Yeah.
So it's just basically it sparked from the sermons.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah.
You invite people a lot of times based on things you've experienced at Wellspring.
Right.
Yeah, and so, and that drives you to want to get them there as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And what you see at church makes you passionate about it. And
yeah.
Makes you want to spread the word.
Right, right.
So I think a lot of people still, they have this mentality kind of like church. You go because you feel guilty about something, or you go just out of, you feel like you have to go. But mm-hmm. I always try and make it, even a lot of times before I invite them, like, let them know how much I enjoy going, and then they're like, hey, you know, you don't go because you feel guilty or feel obligated. You go because you really do enjoy it and get something out of it.
Right, so you're trying to convey the passion that you have about it, and it's not an obligation.
Yeah.
It's you want to go, mm-hmm. you know, and you're excited about it.
I don't say, hey, you need to go to church.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Right.
The Bible
about
there's a lot of guilt, you know?
Sure.
There is.
Sure.
You feel like you have to go, and, mm-hmm. you know, it can be, you know, fun, and you can learn things.
Exactly.
I mean, like in a friendly, relaxed atmosphere instead of, you know,
yeah.
feeling like you're being beaten with
it. I grew up Catholic. I got guilt. I got guilt.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, you're not taking attendance.
Right.
Because we talked about, or Trace mentioned that before. Like, oh, well,
exactly.
I went on my Sundays. It's like we don't go on Sundays to get rid of all the stuff we did during the week.
Right. And so you feel like because of the things that are happening at Wellspring, the way it's atmospheres are created, the things that we talk about, it allows you an opportunity to invite somebody.
Yeah, because I've seen a lot of people that would be their first time there, and as soon as they leave, they say, I can't believe you brought that up. It's related totally to something that happened to me this past week or like that. So
he's
so
not
never
just
know.
Talking to me then.
Yeah.
I'm always amazed is when I sometimes I'll see people and I'll kind of go back and say, well, how did you end up here? You know, they'll be friends of mine, and I don't remember offering to take them to lunch or but like it was a subtle, maybe my son may have given them a card at a soccer game or and then they've seen like banter on Facebook about we'll post things or we're laughing about a video or they'll see us talk and then they kind of and I think somebody said to me and it really kind of stopped me in my tracks and she said, well, I've just seen the change in you and your family and I kind of went, okay, cool. And they started coming regularly and it was really heartening to kind of hear that. And I don't think about it. I think of, making fun of TJ or, somebody, you falling on a bike or whatnot on Facebook. But then there's somebody else, it looks like, oh, okay, this isn't what I think it is. I can do it too. And there's obviously like a real, and then they come in and you see them kind of change.
Think about, the social media.
Yeah.
Like I think social media is a huge, huge part. Because I know one person who I just, for me, checking in and saying, great day, Wellspring, said, hey, I'm looking for a church. What's it all about? It's like you have to enjoy it.
When you check in on Facebook.
Yeah, that's just something as simple as that each week. And people will see that you're there every Sunday and
yeah,
and willing to put it out there that you are there. So you must be enjoying it and having a good time.
And it's super easy to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people even, Beth's great at this, just tweet out a part of the message, just a sentence from the message, and that'll get response on Facebook.
I find social media really easy for inviting people too. I'm part of a few of the local moms groups, a couple different ones on Facebook, and that's a really easy way for me if someone posts up there, hey, does anybody know of a local church that blah 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 blah, or I have questions, can anybody answer them for me? And I always kind of put myself out there like, sure, I'll answer those questions, or hey, this is where I go, check out the website, or I'm unsure about my kids going to children's church, what is that like? And it's like, well, I teach first through fifth grade. This is what we do. Exactly. And I'll be there if you want to drop your kids off.
Yeah.
So that ends up being a really great way. I think social media is really great for that.
Yeah.
And it's easier for shy people like me.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Because those events that TJ sends out, I can invite people through that, and it's almost a conversation starter for them.
Right.
Like if you invite them, then they'll come up to you and say, hey, you keep inviting me to this.
Because
it's all about
the nature of the series, the title of the series will itself spark interest, which is.
And I kind of get ideas from people who are interested by people who like my different posts or that don't involve a church or people that I know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, maybe they have a little bit of interest.
And so that
I can bring
later
it up
on,
conversation.
Go back.
Yeah, exactly.
How persistent would you say you are when you're trying to invite somebody that you really, really want to be there?
One of my favorite stories was I had a friend that God had put on my heart that I really should invite. And so one day he presented me with a perfect opportunity to just text her and say, come on to church. I got denied. She said, I'm not a church person. And then I let it go.
Yeah.
And God did the rest of the work from there.
Wow.
A few months later, she contacted me again and said, tell me more about Wellspring, out of the blue.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to do any work. All I did was initially invite, and then God did the rest of the work. So many times we're afraid of rejection or afraid that they may not come, and they may not come.
Yeah.
I know with the family that I invited to Wellspring, they didn't necessarily come right away, but 6 months later, their whole family came, and they've been there ever since. And so plant that seed, and, they'll see the change in your life, or they'll see your lifestyle, and, sometimes it means that they know that we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good too, because we're not supposed to be, perfect people. We're supposed to go and learn. We're broken people who, want to learn more about God.
By a show of hands, how many people here would say that every time you invite somebody, they'll come? Raise your hands. It just doesn't happen.
No.
Yeah. It can be hard sometimes, right? All of you here serve at Wellspring in some capacity. Talk about that. Does that make it easier to invite somebody,
yes,
based on
for sure
how you serve?
Well, I'm a preschool teacher, so, you know, we have parents that come in that, you know, hadn't necessarily found a church, or their kids, you know, don't do well with other people, and so it's easy to say, well, you know, I volunteer with the kids at Wellspring Church, you know, come, and, you know, it's easy for me being a preschool teacher.
Right. So it just,
the kids get to see a familiar face.
Right, exactly.
And they're not,
so they're
scary.
Not, yeah.
And even for adults trying something new, it's scary, even if it's church,
sure,
or a new job or whatever.
Sure.
And my pitch is, hey, I'm up front. I'll be the first person to see. I know what your car looks like. I'm going to walk to your door. I'm about to valet the car one time. So they would feel more comfortable and come in. And then you take them to Beth if she's out there, or Graham or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That can help them, yeah, the next step.
Yeah, I think even for adults, that's true.
Because
I was a little nervous the first time I came.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a greeter, and so same thing. A lot of times when I invite someone, I'm in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always there.
Come see me at the blue tent.
And, or I'll say, text me when you're driving up,
yeah,
and I'll make sure I'm out there. But yeah, I mean, it definitely makes it easier, and then I can walk them in.
Is there a particular time of the year that you like to invite people to? Is it to Easter or to Christmas? Is there a better time that you've seen that works better to invite people?
I mean, certainly the Easter and Christmas are the easiest,
yeah,
time to invite anybody, because most people do go to church on those days, so it's easy,
right,
to, you know, have them try yours or come with you to yours. I think the thing with Wellspring that's really nice is that every Sunday is really an event, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every time you go, compared to a traditional church, which probably the majority of us and the majority of the people that come have gone to, it's sort of, you know, it's very businesslike, and again, you sort of get to where it's difficult to go, and it's sort of a chore to go. With Wellspring, I mean, from the time you pull up, you know, people are out there greeting you, welcoming you. There's music playing. There's you know, donuts. There's Vance greeting everybody. I mean, who wouldn't want to go where Vance is out greeting? You know? So I think it's really sort of easy, and there's like a, you know, there's a buzz, and so I think when they come once, they see, hey, this was actually fun. The message was good,
mm-hmm,
and so I think it's really, it's really easy to invite any time. The series helps. I mean, that's,
yeah,
how we went. We waited,
yeah,
until there was one that, I think it was the marriage,
mm-hmm,
series,
mm-hmm,
and a couple of people invited us, and we said, you know, that'd be a good time to go. So I do think they help, but really, once you get them there one time, I think they see that it's a good time. The kids have a good time. They enjoy it. So,
which is key.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And being a mom with lots of mom friends, that Wellspring Kids Day is, you know,
yeah, that's
a home run right,
yeah,
there.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
So, well, kids like to have fun.
Yeah.
And we
parents
have fun.
Like kids to have fun.
There you go.
That's a win.
Yeah.
I think the soccer event was huge too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can remember seeing people, and you could just, they were like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. And then we give them hamburgers, and,
yeah,
and, you know, TJ was dancing, and, you know, we were all being silly, and
so,
I actually saw people the next day,
yeah,
that I knew, like, coming up, and like, oh yeah.
That's the beauty of Wellspring. You don't have to have an occasion. There's always something,
mm-hmm,
fun,
mm-hmm,
and new going on.
Yeah.
So there's always a reason to invite them. It doesn't just have to be a season or a holiday. There's something all the time.
And,
yeah,
and spending time worshiping God doesn't have to be so businesslike.
Right.
You can have fun doing it. So,
right,
you know, again, it's Sundays, we look forward to them. We look forward to, you know, getting up and going to church, and the kids don't fight us, and we have a great time, and it's just a great experience.
Just honestly, the first time as a family that all four of us have enjoyed the same church.
Yeah.
It really is. And
good.
Everybody loves it and feels at home, and we were all feeling the same way, which is, you know, pretty exciting.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
I think the beginning of each series is a really great time to invite people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just getting ready to start, so they haven't missed anything yet, so they don't feel behind or left out when they get there, you know, because we're all just getting ready to start something new. So I think once every 3 to 5 weeks, whenever we start a new series, is a really easy time,
mm-hmm,
to put it out there and say,
yeah,
oh, well, we're doing, you know, blah, whatever it,
yeah,
is. And sure enough, that's a really great, easy time to just say, join me, we're going to be doing whatever that is.
Yeah,
so
that's good. So what about when you invite somebody and they do come? Do they always stick?
No.
They don't?
Not necessarily. And I know it's not for everyone. I know,
mm-hmm,
Wellspring is not for everyone. But it is for a lot of people, and God can use Wellspring to change lives. And, you know, it's trusting God with that, and He will take care of the rest. When you feel that urge to invite someone, that's the Holy Spirit telling you to speak up. And it's hard, but when you're faithful in that, it plants that seed, and it could change their life.
I learned my lesson on that because there was a particular person that I kept feeling like I needed to invite. And I remember driving to work one day, and God was saying, call this person and invite them to church. Mm. And I goes, I'm not that good of friends with these people. Like, I'm not going to do that. They're going to think I'm a fool. And so I kept putting off, and I went to work, and I told April, and she's like, I kind of thought the same thing about this person. Next day, again, God was like, call this person, invite them to church. And I wouldn't. Like, I kept fighting it because I was scared to be embarrassed. They were going to turn me down. And the next day, she came in and said, hey, I want to ask you about your church. And it was kind of like, God was like, fine, if you're not going to do it, I'll do it. So I learned my lesson. I'm like, okay, for now on, when I feel it,
right,
I'll definitely, like, reach out for now on. Yep. Now they're there. They're volunteering. Yeah. Like, very well into our church, and so it worked out great. But I felt bad after the fact that God was telling me to do that, and I didn't follow through. But I learned my lesson.
And now you feel bad about it. Yeah.
Right, exactly. I have more self-confidence because, you know, you hear that person like, okay, is that God talking to me, or is it just, you know, my brain going crazy? So,
right. So I think what I hear you guys saying is, even when you invite somebody and they don't stick, they don't continue to stay at Wellspring, it doesn't discourage you.
To keep even trying with that person. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my husband and I have invited someone to come to Wellspring over and over and over again, and this person doesn't have a home church. We know that.
Yeah.
And we've gotten them to come check it out once. They really enjoyed it, and we've wanted them to come every Sunday since, but they haven't come back, and I don't know what it is that's stopping them. But they've experienced it at least once, and they were comfortable, and they, you know, they had a nice time. So we just continue to talk about it, and, you know, continue being who we are and showing the change that Wellspring makes in our lives, in hopes that maybe when the timing's right, they'll come back again, and we'll be there.
Well, I can think Wellspring as a church in general, even if we're not their home church, we hope that they find a home church so that they can grow.
That's true.
Yep.
So how does it make you feel when you invite somebody and they come?
Free donuts.
You feel like you've won. It's like it's a victory, in some way. Right?
Then if they're not going to church at all, they show up, you're like, okay, at least I've done something today. They're going to get something out of this.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about when they come and you see life change?
That's what's
so breathtaking to watch change lives. It really is. Like baptism videos, when they go from seeing someone that you don't, you know, that you knew was there the first time, or their family was, you know, completely unsure about God's existence or any of that, and then you watch them and their family, sometimes all together with them, be baptized and just make it public, and it's such a, oh, I cry every time we're talking about
it.
I know, I'm so emotional. But it's huge. Yeah. It's a huge thing. It was huge for my family.
I was going to say, it's your journey.
It was such a huge moment for my family, and so to watch another family do that, another person's life, it's just, it's breathtaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was greeting with Lauren Morris one time, and there was a guy who was at the dog park, and his daughter needed to get the bathroom. And so she told him to go inside and use the bathroom, and she invited him to come.
He was also a friend of mine, too.
It was a friend of hers.
It wasn't like a regular.
It was a friend of hers that she recognized, and she invited him in, told the little girl to grab a donut, and I'm pretty sure she grabbed a donut.
Oh, yeah.
And, but, you know, a couple of months later, I saw him get baptized, and his family was there, and I bawled my eyes out.
And so what you heard there is the things that they were doing, the things that this group has done, are they all things that you can do. There's nothing difficult about what they were doing. The common theme, though, from everything that they were sharing, it all revolved around them sharing about an experience that they had had, something that had changed their lives. And they were using that to invite other people. They used many different tactics, but all of these things were used to help others come to know God. And it's the same with you. Your end goal is for those around you to come and experience the same thing you have. And it begins with an invitation. It begins with a change in thinking. Just to stop looking at our friends and our family as projects, but realize there's a process. And it begins with an invitation to come and see. Because only God can change others. Think about those in your life this week. Think about ways that you can invite them. Think about ways that you can share the things that you've experienced. And use those things to invite them to come and see. As you heard at the beginning of today, that we're going to be doing a brand new series in a couple of weeks, Once Upon a Time. Use that as an opportunity to invite others. Next week, we're going to be giving out invite cards. Take those, use that in a conversation to help invite others. There are new rules of resolution. There are new ways to think about change. It's not a project, it's a process. It's not about what we've achieved, it's about what we've received. And when it comes to change in others, there's a process, and it begins with a simple invitation, because only God can change others. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for all that you have done today. Thank you for all that you have helped us see today, Lord. I just pray that you will bring to mind some friends and family, some people in our lives that need to know you, that need to experience the same things that we've experienced. I pray that you would open doors this week so that we can have an opportunity to share with them about all that you have done. Thank you for all that you continue to do at Wellspring. And I pray that you would just continue to give us more and more opportunities to reach more people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.